Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. As always, head over to reallifepharmacology.com. Go check out your free top 200 study guide. It's a 31-page PDF. Lots of little nuggets from things that I've actually seen in the real world and clinical practice, as well as things that often show up on board exams and pharmacology exams. So really great for anybody studying pharmacology, or if you're looking for a refresher and you've been out in clinical practice a little while too, a great little review to kind of touch base and make sure you're keeping up to speed with all the medications. So again, reallifepharmacology.com, go subscribe and you'll get that free 31-page PDF. All right, so let's get into the drug of the day today. And that is oxybutynin. Brand name of this medication is Ditropan. There is a brand name, Oxytrol. And that is actually a patch formulation of oxybutynin. Pretty much, I only see oxybutynin used for urinary symptoms. On occasion, I've maybe seen it for excessive salivation and a few kind of rare indications. But by and large, if you see oxybutynin, you can probably guess that it's going to be used for overactive bladder, urinary kind of urgency, frequency, and symptoms of incontinence. Okay, so with that said, mechanistically, oxybutynin is classified as a urinary anticholinergic. It blocks the action of acetylcholine on urinary smooth muscle. And ultimately, this decreases urgency, decreases urinary frequency symptoms, and also can help with bladder spasms. And I guess technically can be classified as an anti-spasmodic specifically for the bladder there as well. Dosing of this medication, immediate release, daily doses in the range of 2.5. I've seen upwards of 20 milligrams max for the immediate release formulation. Extended release formulation, there is a dosage form up to 30 milligrams, so I have seen that on occasion as well. Extended release product is typically given once a day. Immediate release product is typically given 2 to 3 times a day. Patch formulation, now that's a little bit interesting. It's been quite a while since I've actually seen it used in practice, but it's actually changed out 2 times per week. So in my mind, that's maybe kind of a downside where it's kind of a little bit of an odd schedule. It's not once a week. So it's changed every 3 to 4 days, and it is recommended to be consistent with that patch change. Again, not a product I see used very often, but I have seen it used a couple of times. Now, adverse effect profile. As you can imagine, oxybutynin being an anticholinergic, it's going to have anticholinergic adverse effects. And in our geriatric patient population, this medication is on the beers list. Understanding, knowing those anticholinergic effects are absolutely critical. I think probably the easiest way I remember it is you can't spit, see, pee, or poop. So, your dry mouth, your vision issues, constipation, urinary retention, those are all potential adverse effects. Another one I do remember is, many patients with diabetes can have gastroparesis, kind of that slow gut movement, and anticholinergics can potentially worsen that. So it can exacerbate patients' symptoms with gastroparesis. So, classic med, metoclopramide. So if I ever see a patient on metoclopramide, most of the time I see that medication, it's for gastroparesis. So if I see oxybutynin added on and I see this patient's on metoclopramide, I definitely start digging into diagnosis and saying, hey, this is probably going to worsen their gastroparesis a little bit. So again, A lot of these adverse effects are dose dependent, and we think about that anticholinergic burden. Is this patient taking other anticholinergics as well that are kind of contributing, whether that be prescription or over-the-counter agents such as, you know, diphenhydramine that's in, you know, Advil PM and Tylenol PM. Those are definitely things you got to look out for sure. So in addition to some of those adverse effects, confusion can certainly happen. So adding on to patients' issues that may have dementia or memory issues already, fall risk, and certainly sedation, lethargy can happen as well. Rarely, hyperthermia may be an issue with anticholinergic meds like oxybutynin here. You know, I'm live in more northern climates, so probably not too big of an issue that we worry about up here. However, if you've got a patient that's, you know, traveling and you know they're traveling, you know, to a desert or, you know, really warm climate for the time of year that they're going, that might be something to give them a heads up to be really, really careful that they may be a little bit more susceptible to hyperthermia and elevated temperatures there. Also, I did want to mention MedEd101.com, the blog there, did do a recent article on drugs that cause hyperthermia. So if you just Google search that, drugs that cause hyperthermia, MedEd101, that should definitely pop up for you in a search engine if you want to see some other meds in addition to anticholinergics that may cause hyperthermia. Great little article there to go check out, and a few good refreshers there. A couple other things about the patch that I did want to mention. So from a practicality standpoint, the patch is generally going to be more expensive. So again, probably one of the big reasons why you don't see that compared to the dirt cheap oral tablets there. However, there is probably a lower incidence of dry mouth and constipation. Now, keep in mind, can be dose dependent and that type of thing. But using that patch formulation may cause a little bit less problems with the GI tract there. All right, so let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we will wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material like BCMTMS, BCPS, BCACP, BCGP, or the NAPLEX exam, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. We've got links to all our content there, our study materials. Your support there directly helps keep this podcast free. In addition, if you're a nurse, med student, any other medical student that has to deal with and work with patients taking medications, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. We've got great books on polypharmacy, case studies, drug interactions, all sorts of relevant clinical practice pearls that you can definitely benefit from and learn from for sure. A lot of them are taken directly from my experience as a clinical pharmacist for 10 plus years. So definitely go check out all those resources, meded101.com/store. Like I said, purchases there help keep this podcast free and educational for all to benefit from. All right, so let's wrap up with drug interactions. First off, I always think of that anticholinergic burden. I kind of alluded to that before. So, tricyclic antidepressants, even like respiratory anticholinergics like ipratropium, tiotropium, some of the older antihistamines, I think of hydroxyzine, for example, there, diphenhydramine I mentioned before, cyclobenzaprine, another example of an older skeletal muscle relaxant with some anticholinergic properties. So we got to remember that anticholinergic burden and obviously those adverse effects that I mentioned in the previous section that go with that. CNS depressant effects, so additive effects there again as far as causing drug interactions. So, you know, alcohol, benzos, opioids, any medication that kind of has sedative type properties that can contribute to confusion and sedation, definitely need to think about those agents in combination with a drug like oxybutynin. 3A4 inhibitors, I think I've talked about a lot of those in the past. Some of the macrolides like erythromycin, clarithromycin can sometimes increase concentrations and the activity of oxybutynin. I wouldn't say crazy risky, but there is that potential where we raise concentrations and have the potential to increase adverse effects of oxybutynin. Mentioned metoclopramide, erythromycin being used for gastroparesis, so definitely think about that, and oxybutynin could definitely counteract or oppose what you're trying to do with some of those pro-kinetic medications for the GI tract there and gastroparesis. And then, of course, lastly, I definitely want to mention dementia medication. So if you see a patient on your Aricepts, your Namendas, you've got to remember that oxybutynin can potentially cause those medications to be added. I've seen that in clinical practice where a patient starts and oxybutynin's increased for urinary issues. And now all of a sudden, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 10 weeks later, they're having some confusion. They're having some memory issues. And now we add on a dementia medication like Aricept or Namenda. And, you know, are we actually having dementia and dementia issues? Or did oxybutynin cause central nervous system adverse effects and cause those issues, ultimately leading to the prescribing cascade and the addition of those dementia medications? So again, same thing. If you see patients already on dementia meds, be extremely careful with a drug like oxybutynin, because we may worsen that cognition and worsen issues with patients there. So again, this is, you know, one of the things that we look at with urinary medications like oxybutynin, and there certainly are other urinary anticholinergics that may not have as much central nervous system penetration or risk for adverse effects. So again, I'll talk about those in future podcasts, but there definitely are urinary anticholinergics that have less action on the CNS. So again, need to look at those patients critically, think clinically, make sure we're selecting the best agents for our patients there. All right, well, that's going to wrap up this podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, found it helpful, leave a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Also, go subscribe, reallifepharmacology.com, and of course, support the sponsor, meded101.com/store, STORE. If you want to track me down, you can email me at mededucation101@gmail.com. Probably the most active social media profile. You can find me on LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP. Thanks again for listening. Take care, and hope you have a great rest of your day.